honestly, we don't have to cut the clicks. We don't have to. It's annoying to have the mechanical keyboards and the mice. And anyway, so we recommend if you're going to podcast to get the Logitech M333 Silent Plus.
The 333?
Yeah, sure. You know what? M330. I'm two beers in and this is going well.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
So we recommend the Logitech M330 Silent
Plus. You know, you could just cut together this series of screw-ups, and that's your B-roll right there. Just the inability to say 330. It's not that hard. It's a time. It's sitting there in the show notes. Should I, like, spell it out in words?
No, I got it. I got it.
Fourth time's the charm. Welcome to episode number 80 of the Memory Jar. As always, we're here to remember the cards, the decks, the people, and the stories that make Magic the game we love. I'm David Prestwood, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Christian Wright. Christian, how are you doing?
I'm good. I've been out and about, and you have too, right?
Yeah, I, you know, would have liked to record some podcasts, but I was up in the Great North, the Boundary Waters in northern Minnesota on the Canadian border. Highly recommended if any of you like camping and canoeing. How about you?
I've been taking care of a cat. So, and I did a work, trip in Park City. So that was fun. You know,
nice. Home of the Winter Olympics, Park City, Utah.
Yep. I got to see the ski jumpers and I went down a zip line. That was super fun. Well, now that we're back from our summer vacation stuff, I'm ready to collect the checks. I've already ordered some duels and I'm excited to pay for them.
What do you mean collect the checks? Are we getting paid for something that I don't know about?
Well, based on the theme for the show, I assume we're getting a ton of checks in the mail, right?
Well, I have some bad news for you, buddy. We do not have actual endorsements. There are no actual checks coming in the mail. This episode is called The Endorsement Show, but we're just going to offer our endorsement of a bunch of Magic-related products, Magic cards, some other random things. We're going to be like the professor from Tulare Community College, but without any testing or effort whatsoever.
Well, this is real awkward. While I go unorder some dual lands, like we always do, let's crack open the memory jar.
This week, our card is Beacon of Unrest. This is the Double Masters version. This one was originally printed in Fifth Dawn. It was a rare both times. It is 3BB for a sorcery. It says, put target artifact or creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. Shuffle Beacon of Unrest into its owner's library. So, it is a 5-mana reanimate from any graveyard. The difference between this and the other ones we've seen is this includes artifact and it shuffles itself back into the library. I feel like we get these a lot now and uncommon for 5-mana. So this might be a little outdated as a powerful card, but like it used to be pretty desirable for Commander.
I don't remember this being played much in Standard, to be perfectly honest. I think it's fine. I think the shuffle effect also helps because technically you can't deck yourself. But if you're at that point where you can chain Beacon of Rest every turn, then the game is weird and I can't help you. I don't know. Like, I think it's fine. The fact that you can reanimate from any graveyard makes it dangerous enough that you have to think about it.
Yeah, I wonder how often you're getting an artifact instead of a creature. Probably pretty rare. But the shuffling in, not decking yourself thing, I guess could be helpful. I feel like it might just be worse because you're shuffling it in. I feel like there are so many ways to cast things from your graveyard in Commander that maybe you just want something that gets there, but it's not even that popular in Commander, I guess. The most common Commander, according to EDH Rec, is Geth, Lord of the Vault. It's in 45% of those decks, and I'll just read Geth because I really like this card. It makes a lot of sense why Beacon of Unrest would be in there. It's 4BB for a 5/5 legendary zombie. It has Intimidate, which, as a reminder, means it can't be blocked except by artifact creatures or creatures that share its color. So in this case, black creatures. And it says X and a black. Put target artifact or creature card with mana value X from an opponent's graveyard onto the battlefield under your control tapped. Then that player mills X cards. So a very cool card that kind of feeds itself and whatnot. And Beacon of Unrest basically does that same thing as a one shot.
Yeah. For the record, real quick, this was also a bomb in Skarsmirden draft. So I'm glad that they got a reprint in. Hopefully it ruins some Double Masters drafts because it's a pretty good card.
Yeah, it's a very good card. This is a one that it would be very difficult for me to cut from my Phoenix deck. If you're putting stuff in the graveyard, this not only helps you, but then you just take the best stuff. So, big fan. Big fan. Of Geth. Not so much of Beacon of Unrest.
No.
Which used to be like $4 or so, and then it got reprinted in a few commander sets, and now it's worth basically nothing. But, I don't know. It's probably better than some of your random 5-mana reanimate effects. Okay, on to the main show. We're going to endorse a bunch of things this week. Mostly, this is an opportunity for us to talk about some of the things we like that are related to Magic, related to the podcast, the things that we personally use and want other people to know have some value.
There's a lot of things we use as part of playing Magic that we kind of take for granted, and we decided we just like want to share what we like and what we recommend for people if they're trying to find something to sleeve their cards or something to store their cards in, or just types of cards in general. You know, we like to share our opinions, and it's summer. What else are we going to do?
You don't want to talk more about Commander Legends Battle for Baldur's Gate Arena Edition or whatever it is? Okay, never mind. It's alchemy.
No.
I've had a lot of I feel like I've had a lot of questions from newer players recently about some of these things, and or they look at the gear that I have and they ask if I have recommendations, and so this is our opportunity to do it, as we kind of joked about earlier. Totally unpaid, didn't get any of these things free to review them. These are just the things that we like. Now, if you do want to pay us to use your products, I would suggest that we're probably listening. Or you could just send us free stuff. That's also fine.
You can pay us off to do anything.
All right. Well, why don't we get right to it? We have discussed some of these things ahead of time, and so we have come up with the official Memory Jar podcast endorsement list. The first thing is card sleeves. The official card sleeves of the Memory Jar podcast are Dragon Shield mats. Personally, I like the black ones, which is what I use for Cube, and I like the Petrol for everything else. Most of my Commander decks are in the Petrol color.
Nice. I have all my Commander decks in Lightning. I just picked it out at the store, and it was great. I will say that this has changed over time. I feel like that Magic sleeve technology, which is weird to say out loud, has kind of evolved a lot since probably 2018. Like, before 2018, there was only like one product. I want to say it was Trix Dragon Shields in general. But then you had KMCs, and then you had Ultra Pro, and then you had something else that was endorsed by Cedric Phillips. And Dragon Shield maps are now kind of just better than all of them. I'm glad that there's some progress in the card sleeve industry.
Yep. I think they used to have a problem where they were sometimes inconsistent between packages as well. And that's mostly been resolved. If I say get a case from my local game store of Black Dragon Shield mats, there's no sizing differences, there's no slight differences in color, they all come out pretty much the same, and so that's what you want. All right, well, the official inner card sleeve of the Memory Jar podcast are KMC Perfect Hards. Now, I only use these for cubes of generally high value, or for my Pauper cube, because all the cards are foil and some of them are very bendy. The shuffling is so good with the Perfect Hards. Other than that, I don't really double sleeve a lot.
Yeah, I agree with your endorsement. I don't double sleeve anymore because I don't have time for that. It's super annoying. Like, the cards get stuck in the double sleeve and you gotta like pull them out. And
if we could offer an unendorsement, I would like to put up those cards that have the sleeve that like is folds into itself like an envelope to protect all four sides. Because I've helped my local game store unsleeve cards that people have sold in those, and they're incredibly obnoxious.
Yes, those are awful. And the side ones, too, are also awful.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah, because you expect it from the bottom, and then when you, like, take 2 minutes to, like, try to pull it off, and then you're wondering where the opening is, and it's on the side, like, I want to throw that card across the room.
Yeah. Also, it doesn't really help with what inner sleeves are for, so.
No.
All right. Our next one is the official deck box of the Memory Jar podcast. We went with the Ultimate Guard Xenoskin Flippin' Tray, which is just a really nice, sturdy deck box that has a little tray for dice and things in it. I use one of these for my Legacy deck, and I have a double-sided one that I take with pre-sleeved lands and things for draft. They're just generally great.
I just realized I own one of these. They are great. I'm a sucker for those old Mana Symbol deck boxes, so that's my alternate endorsement. If you can't find those or those are too expensive, find those old Mana Symbol deck boxes. Those are fantastic. I use them all still, and they're all beat to hell, but they still work. So
yeah, for my commander decks, they're all in those Ultra Pro 100 plus count boxes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just kind of tucked in there because it's easier to move them around. But the Xenoskin Flip and Tray is just a really high quality dex box. Also holds stickers pretty well, despite the texture.
Which oh, interesting. Okay. Next, we have dice, because what Magic player doesn't need dice? The weird ones, that's what I say. We recommend Ultra Pro Big Number D6. Dave, you got this as a Christmas present for me. They're the best die I've ever had in my life. They're so big, they work on webcam magic perfectly, and they're unambiguous about how many counters are on a creature. Highly recommend.
I still use the little Chessex dice for most things, and playing in person, there's so many of those tiny things, but we've been playing on Spell Table. I have not been playing paper magic, and those big number dice are phenomenal. Good feel, everything about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Moving on to what could be a controversial topic, dice bags. The Memory Jar endorses using a gallon Ziploc bag. That's right. You store steaks in those. You can also store dice. And it works just great for about 6 months, and then it falls apart like every other plastic product. You just get a new one.
Ugh. I don't use a dice bag, so I just defer to you on this one. You use like the oldest, rattiest Ziplocs. One of my favorite things was when we were like at a GP or something in Minnesota, you had your old ratty dice bag. And so I gave you a new gallon Ziploc bag. And did you pour out your dice into the new bag? No, you put the old ratty Ziploc bag inside the new Ziploc bag just to make sure the dice wouldn't fall out of the actual holes that had been worn to the side. Which is ridiculous. You know what? It works for you. And so old Ziploc bag is the official dice bag of the Memory Jar podcast.
You know, I watched a lot of Captain Planet when I was a kid. I've taken those lessons to heart. So I reduce, reuse, and recycle, and I reuse the hell out of some Ziploc bags.
Wonderful.
Related, I probably have ingested a lot of microplastics due to me using old Ziploc bags. That's either here or there. So cube storage is our next topic. Not as controversial. This was actually recommended to me by a friend of the podcast, Ryan Overturf. And we just endorse it. It's the GameGenic Dungeon S 550 convertible box. It's basically a big plastic thing. So we're a radio show, so you can't see what I'm holding up right now, but I'm going to describe it to you. It's a long box that can hold 550 cards. The top comes off. It's all magnetic. There's like storage for die and extra cards. And yeah, it's great. It's like 80 bucks. I want to say 70, 80 bucks, but it's indestructible. The only thing it's been destroyed by is I fell on it by accident. So.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I am using the cube storage technique of long white box, which is fine, except I also just have a bunch of cards that I need to sort in those. So I keep opening a box and being like, oh, it's a cube. I should probably put this in something that's a little sturdier and doesn't look like these old ratty boxes, because it is. So, all right, GameGenic Dungeon S 550 Plus convertible. I'm going to have to try one of these out.
Yeah, and I think they have a 1100 one that's basically two of them smushed together.
All right, next is the tournament or deck bag that we use. We just use whatever, like a backpack. A backpack is fine. Backpack. I use a camera sling for tournaments, but if I'm going with commander decks to somebody's house, it's just a backpack with like a bunch of commander decks in it. It's fine.
Yeah, like small backpack, big backpack, just enough to so you can hold at least a deck box, play mat if you need it, and your die, pen and paper, and you're fine.
I do recommend if you have one that zips open and you can get like a camera insert. That's one of the things I like about the camera sling, is it will have some compartments that maybe you can put some of these things in. But really, any backpack will do you.
Yeah, don't just carry it like a weirdo. Like, and I know that's very pejorative to say, but literally, if someone walked into like a big magic tournament and they hand carried 8 deck boxes, a playmat tube, and like a formal dice bag all in their arms, I'd be like, why? What are you doing? What is happening? Like, are you okay? Do you need to get a backpack? I will buy you a backpack right now. This is anxiety inducing.
All right. The official playmat of the Memory Jar podcast is whatever's around.
Yeah.
If you're like us, you might have free ones from events. I have some from my local game store that I particularly like, but it's not like I'm going to go looking for them when I play. It's whatever playmat is closest to my reach at any time.
There was a period when that was the giveaway they used to do, and people told them to stop because they gave away too many playmats. But I seriously considered just going to magic events to play, but also because I wanted to get enough playmats so that I could then turned it into the floor of like a game room at some point whenever I owned a house. Not going to happen because now you don't get free playmats anymore, but there's a period.
You don't. But it'd be a nice squishy floor. That could be could be solid. The official life counter app for your phone of the Memory Jar podcast is Mox Topper. Sorry to say it's exclusively on the iPhone and iPad. Sorry for Android users, but it's a really gorgeous app. Has all of the features you really need. When a player dies, it gives a cute little message like, you're dead. Or like, why you know when? Or various things. And I don't know. It speaks to me. It's simple, but it has the depth that you need for your Commander games.
Yes, absolutely. 100% agree. Mox Topper. Get it on the iPhone or iPad. You will not regret it. If you don't have your phone or if your phone is charging and you need to keep track of it like the kids in the 90s did, we recommend a Sideboard Abacus.
Yes, that is the official non-app-based life counter. That's where you take the cards in your sideboard, you put three of them sideways, each of those representing five life, and then five of them vertically above that, and those each represent one life, and then you add and subtract from your sideboard as necessary. It seems more complex than pen and paper, but the benefit is you don't have to have pen and paper. You just have to have a sideboard.
Yes. If you're going to a tournament, though, please bring pen and paper. Otherwise, you will get in trouble.
This is like a casual cube situation. It doesn't really work very well for Commander, but this is the preferred method of my local cube group, and I have adopted it, and I love it.
Yeah.
So, Sideboard Abacus. 100%. Learn it. Love it. Live it. Live, laugh, love. Sideboard Abacus.
Live. You gotta first love before you live. It's the rule.
But can you love if you don't really live?
I don't know. Deep thoughts.
I'll also laugh in there somewhere. I don't know. We're not doing very well at this.
On that note, because we are a podcast, we're going to recommend some stuff if you're going to start a podcast of what you should pull up. What's interesting about this is that we're unanimous in what we recommend because we've done this long enough and we know what works and what doesn't. So let's start with microphones. Blue Yeti, they're the best for the cost that you're going to get. Don't spend a bajillion dollars for a microphone you don't know how to use. Start cheap and work your way up. And Blue Yeti is the perfect tool for that.
Yeah, we started the podcast with the Blue Snowball, which is an even cheaper version, and it was fine. Lowercase f, fine.
Yep.
And we decided to upgrade to the Yeti after reading some reviews and hearing from folks, and I think our sound quality has meaningfully improved. It's just a very, very nice microphone.
So we're going to recommend a mouse. And you're going to ask, why are we going to recommend a mouse for podcasting? Let's pull back the veil a bit. We have a lot of like links to cards on Scryfall. We have links in general that we're pulling up, or we're going to do some research. You have no idea it happens because we have silent mice. So we recommend the Logitech M330 Silent Plus.
Yeah, really inexpensive mouse, but the click is very silent. It's Bluetooth. It's a single AA battery. I have two of them. I keep one in my work bag and I just plug that into my laptop whenever I'm on the go. And then I have one here on my desk.
Yeah. And the battery lasts forever. I've only had to replace it like one or two times, so highly recommend. And we're done talking about mice.
All right, well, the official podcast recording software of the Memory Jar is Zencastr. Very nice online service. It's zencastr.com, Z-E-N-C-A-S-T-R. And this is not what we started using, but we saw the light. Zencastr was recommended to us, I believe, by Shivan Bhatt, either when he was going to come on our podcast for the first time or we were going to be on his. Videos integrated, it records separate audio streams, it uploads them to the cloud. We had previously been using Audacity and making everyone record their own audio. This is much, much better.
Yes, it lines up automatically. Even if they're, you know, you have a person that disconnects, it still picks it up right after. Just use Zencastr. It's worth the cost, and it's worth the, even if you get the free version, it's still worth it.
Yeah, it's worth the cost of $0 for a pretty fully featured product.
Absolutely.
The official podcast host of the Memory Jar podcast is anchor.fm, something we've been using from the beginning. They have increased features as they have gone along, but really easy way to string everything together, upload to the various sites. It's been great for us. I have no complaints. But then again, I'm happy to take suggestions because I don't know anything else.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were pitched by our mutual friend Will, who works at Spotify, about the Spotify platform, and nope, anchor.fm.
I believe Spotify acquired Anchor, though.
Oh, well then, there we go.
We'll have to go back to him and say, hey, you know, we finally saw the light. You purchased Anchor because they saw what we could do with Anchor.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're movers and changers, people. Like, that's what we do. Audio editing, we use Audacity because it's free and it's also great. A lot of people use Audacity. Learn how to use it. There's a paid Adobe product that is technically quote unquote better, but it's not worth it. Just stick with Audacity.
Only challenge with Audacity is the learning curve, which is significant. But once you get past that, you don't have to dive deep into it either. We edit our podcast on Audacity and it works great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about our endorsements within the Magic universe, Magic specific things. Let's start with our Magic card search engine. Obviously, this is Gatherer from... No, we're just kidding. It's Scryfall. It's obviously Scryfall. Scryfall's the best.
Scryfall's the best. Which is ironic because as we're recording this, Scryfall is down. So... Whoops.
they're still the best. Honestly, Scryfall just giving me a 404 page makes me feel better than Gatherer.
Absolutely. So 100%. As far as online Magic software, we're going to recommend... mtgadraft.tk. It is a draft simulator where you can also draft with your friends. By that I mean you can draft a card pool that you set either in Arena or somewhere else, and it will allow you to draft, and then you could upload it to Arena or whatever platform you want to play Magic on, and it will copy the cards and you're good to go.
Yeah, we couldn't say this was Arena or MTGO, so we went with a third-party project. It's a really cool, as Christian said, draft simulator. This is what I used to draft my Arena Peasant Tubert with friends. We set the draft pool, draft from that, and then import the decks into Arena and play them there. I have used this to draft very, very old sets and play the games in a third-party rules engine like Cockatrice or something like that. Really cool option to go back to old sets and see what the draft environment was like.
Yeah.
All right. The official Magic game that isn't Magic is Enchant Worldle. We've mentioned Enchant Worldle a couple times. It has surpassed the Scryfall art game in our estimation.
It is okay to use Scryfall at some point while you're doing Enchant Worldle. I like to do it after I get everything but the set and the card name, because there are so many 3-mana black sorceries that are common that I don't remember them all. They're literally so many. But it's a...
Well, and if you don't remember them, there probably aren't a lot of people out there who do, so Scryfall assists are just fine when you get stumped.
Yes, but super fun. If you like Wordle, you will like Enchant Worldle, and we, you know, go for it. As far as pack cracking, we'd recommend Pai Gow. So we're going to be real quick about the rules of Pai Gow. You take a normal draft booster, doesn't work with set boosters, doesn't work with collector boosters. You take a normal draft booster, take out the advertisement card, if there is one, and you make 5 piles of 3, and then you quote-unquote play against these piles against your opponent who has done the same. Then the rules are, you have infinite mana, you can play as many cards as you like on your turn, and the first person to deal, I think it's like 5 damage? I can't remember the exact...
It's usually 5. It's usually both players have 5 life.
Yeah. Whoever can deal 5 damage first wins the game. It's a better way to use your boosters than anything else, in my opinion. But set boosters...
And just cracking them for no value, or playing war, or a million other things. Yeah. I will say, I've never done it with a collector booster, but you could do it. I'm pretty sure they have 15 cards.
You could, I guess. Yeah, but then you get like list cards, and you get some weird like commander exclusives, and...
Ah, totally fine. Doesn't matter. Yeah, why not? Throw them in. It just has to be 15 cards. I have a Pai Gow cube I've assembled out of chaff. Just draft chaff. So, your eyes just got big. Yes, we can play the Pai Gow cube.
Yes.
Next time we're together in person.
Oof. Okay.
All right. The official format, Magic format of the Memory Jar podcast is, you know, we're split. I think it's limited.
I think it's modern.
As someone who hasn't played Modern in a long time, that doesn't do it for me, I gotta say.
Here's what I'm willing to compromise, though. Cube is great. It really is probably just Cube.
Okay, so we'll just say the official format is Cube, which I guess is like a higher power level limited.
Yeah, but it's also curated limited, so it kind of fits in with that constructed theme with Modern, you know?
Okay, then our official format is Cube, perfect.
Yeah.
Well then, what about our official draft format?
Oh boy, this one I'm willing to defend. I'm going to say Triple Innistrad.
For me, I think it would be Amonkhet Hour.
Yeah.
Just because I like what that draft format was. And I'm willing to entertain other options, but I don't think ours can be Triple Innistrad only because I wasn't playing that. I've never drafted it.
Then yeah, let's just do Hour, Amonkhet. I think that was
okay.
That was when we were doing you were playing and we were both playing. So yeah, we'll do our Amicut for sure.
Okay. Nice. And I have a bunch of those boosters. I've got like multiple draft sets of that just sitting here waiting to be drafted. Mm. So man, we really need to get you to Minnesota.
Yeah, I know. Both David and I are not pro Magic players. We've tried to be.
What?
I know. I'm sorry. We're just, I got to break some reality to us. So if we go to a big event, we might play the main event, but we're going to be playing side events pretty shortly. So the Memory Jar endorsed side event at a big Magic event, whether that be a Magic Fest, a GP, or a DreamHack, it's Battle Bond Draft. We both will hop into Battle Bond Draft and do a Battle Bond Draft together. It's just a fantastic way for two players to draft.
Yeah, the fact that you get to play with a teammate who you are there at the event with makes it edge out Convention Edition Mystery Boosters and Chaos Draft for me. Battle Bond Drafts are just all glorious, and I really hope we get another Battle Bond set at some point.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing is, Battle Bond isn't popular enough that they've ran out of boosters for people to do it as a side event, whereas like Convention Mystery Boosters, they had to limit the amount of events they ran because it was too popular. And Chaos Draft is Chaos Draft, but it's pretty random. You don't know what you're going to run into. It could be fun. It could also just be a mess. And Battle Bond is at least the most consistent of the three. So,
or it was. I mean, they're probably out of it by now. Who knows?
Don't say that. And lastly, Magic History Tournament moment. So there's some iconic moments in Magic history, whether it's Brian Kibler getting Bonfire the Dam to the death, or Patrick Chapin not killing Gabriel Nassif with a lethal in Night Memories. There's a lot of great stuff where you can watch the clips over and over on YouTube or whatever video platform you like to watch movies on. The Memory Jar endorsed Magic History Tournament history moment, though, which I think is pretty unanimous, is Craig Jones winning with Lightning Helix off the top.
Yeah, definitely the most over-the-top and ridiculous one. We'll link to that one in the show notes. Special shout-out, of course, to Ryan Overturf's Spell Pierce, which has the benefit of only being able to happen in paper. When Arena reminds you to pay two for the Spell Pierce, you're not going to just like put your Anger of the Gods into your graveyard.
Absolutely.
But Lightning Helix off the top, 100%.
Yes.
All right, now let's do what we do best on this podcast. We're going to talk about some cards. We're going to officially endorse some cards.
Yes.
First of all, the tribe, the creature type of the Memory Jar podcast is obviously Brushwag. Oh, that's like not even close. 100%. I don't even think we need to say anything more about it.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah. I'll just do this next one because it's obvious. The artifact is Memory Jar.
Yep.
I don't know if you've heard of it. Like, our podcast is named after it. Yep.
What more can be said?
God, these are all just obvious. Creature is obviously just Brushwag.
Yep. OG Brushwag. Wild. Just got to run with it. I mean, who doesn't like a cat that's in a tumbleweed? I love it.
I guess I should probably just read this card for folks. It's one green for a 3/2 Brushwag from Mirage. And if it blocks or is blocked, it gets -2/+2 until end of turn. So it becomes a 1/4. That's a reserve list card, folks.
Yep.
This is probably a good time for me to mention that Arena just added a Brushwag pet. And I don't really care about pets, but I'm tempted.
I gotta buy it. I don't play Arena anymore, but I still have to have this one just to have it on the account.
You must have the Swagwag.
The Swagwag. As far as enchantments, we're both miserable people, and we agreed it was Humility from Tempest. So I'm gonna read this card because it is a mind and brain breaker. It is 2WW for an enchantment. It was printed in Tempest, and it says, all creatures lose all abilities and have base power and toughness 1/1. You know what breaks the game? When you change what creatures do and their power and toughness.
Yeah. So the reason I think this is our endorsed card is just because of layers and timestamps and nonsense. There's also, we've talked about three cards now in four categories and they're all on the reserve list. So we might have another problem there. We do like the older cards.
We do. We're suckers for the old cards. And honestly, this is great because it's also a fantastic card in general, right? Like, this is does a lot of work when you can play it and not have people have rules questions. It's also, the original has Phil Foglio art, and it's fantastic.
Well, all right, how about Instant, Christian?
So I'm going to go with iconic one, Lightning Bolt. So, classic, 1 red, it's an instant, deals 3 damage to any target. I think that is the should be the endorsed instance, but you have a different opinion.
Yeah, I disagree. For me, it's Sublime Epiphany. This is the rare from Magic 2021. It's 4 blue-blue for a rare instant, and you choose one or more. You counter a spell. You counter an activated triggered ability. You return a non-land permanent to its owner's hand. You create a token that's a top copy of a creature you control, and then target player draws a card. It's very expensive, but it's very devastating. It's a great card in Cube. The art is wild. It says the memory jar to me. And I think we're going to have to resolve this by going to the people. So I'm going to post some Twitter polls for the things we disagree on here that are critical. And we're going to let the listeners decide Sublime Epiphany or Lightning Bolt. What is the memory jar endorsed instant?
Yes. Yes. And there can only be one. If there's a tie, we might have to flip a coin.
We'll do it. Oh, no. Then we're going to have to take listener suggestions, which I'm also in for. Okay. Well, how about Sorcery?
Yeah, so let's start with my choice. I'm a sucker for Ponder. Ponder is 1 blue for, obviously, a sorcery. Look at the top 3 cards of your library, then put them back in any order. You may shuffle and draw a card. It's sneakily powerful. It's a fantastic cantrip, and I have full art versions of these, and I think that's the one we should endorse, in my opinion. What about you, Dave? What's your choice?
Well, for me, it's got to be Dead Ringers. This is a 4 and a black for a common from Apocalypse. It says, destroy 2 target non-black creatures unless either one is a color the other isn't. They can't be regenerated. And that word salad is just what we are all about on this podcast. Old bordered. There's Krovax in the flavor text. I'm a big Dead Ringers guy.
I like Dead Ringers too for the absurdity of it. But we're going to let the people vote because I got to go with consistency over absurdity.
Yeah, you like these one mana classics, and I'm all over the map here. All right, well, let's see if we can continue that. It can't be one mana, but what's your choice for the Planeswalker of the Memory Jar podcast?
This is controversial. I chose Oko, Thief of Crowns, because we like to talk about broken things in this podcast, and I feel like if we're just going to go all in on Planeswalkers, let's just go with the best one of all time. Let's just recognize Oko for how great he is.
Hate it. I'm going with Karn, Scion of Urza, 4 generic mana for a legendary Planeswalker Karn, colorless, of course, and he gives you a lot of choices. He's got a +1, you reveal 2 cards of your library, your opponent gets to choose one that goes into your hand, and you exile the other one with a silver counter. You can -1 to put a card you own with a silver counter on it from exile into your hand, and then -2, create a 0/0 colorless construct artifact creature token. With this creature gets +1/+1 for each artifact you control, which we know from Urza and Urza Saga and all the other Urza-related things like Karn, Scion of Urza. This card just has so many decisions involved and was so cool, and we both like Dominaria. So I thought Karn, Scion of Urza. So the listeners shall decide.
I think the listeners are going to choose Karn. I hate to be that guy.
We'll see. All right, what about a non-basic land?
I got to go with Gaia's Cradle here, just because I played with it as a kid. I think if you think about busted lands, it's now one of the first that comes to people's minds. So it's simple. It's a legendary land from Urza Saga. It taps to add 1 green for each creature you control to your mana pool. It's iconic. It's a reserveless card, unfortunately, but when you think about busted lands, like Gaia's Cradle is one of the first that comes to mind.
When you think about busted lands, my choice for our endorsement is Talaria. This is an uncommon from Legends. It's a legendary land. You tap to add a blue, or you tap and target creature loses banding and all bans with other abilities until end of turn, but you can only do that during your upkeep. That's just a strictly better island, folks.
That is true. I actually thought you said Talarian Academy, and I was ready to argue about Talarian Academy because I think it's up there too. But you know what? Let's not get this to the people. I think it's just Talaria.
Yeah.
I think that's the one we endorse.
All right. That's what I like to hear. Related to this, basic land. We didn't talk about this ahead of time. It's got to be island, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Basic land is island. Good. And then we're going to throw in a curveball here, Christian. What about plane card? Like the plane cards that you play plane chase with?
If I have to play Plane Chase, and I have to pick a plane, it is the Hippodrome. It's the Hippodrome from Segovia. Segovia is fantastic. I'll read what this plane does. So Plane Chase, just real quick, it's a separate deck with planes. You flip them over, stuff happens. We're not going to get into the rules details. You can look at them up if you're curious. Segovia itself says when it's the plane in play, it says all creatures get -5/-0. And whenever you roll the planar die, you may destroy a target creature if its power is 0 or less. So,
yeah. This is great. Attacking stupid. Who likes attacking and blocking?
Yeah. Well, also, it's a great shout out to the two Segovian cards we have in Magic. The original Segovian Leviathan, which they had to figure out why there was a big fish that was a 3/3 island walker. Well, it's a shrunken Leviathan. Cool. They extended that to Modern Horizons with Segovian Angel, which is 1/1 flying vigilance creature for 1 white. And it makes sense. It's a shrunken angel, so does the same thing, yeah. But it's tiny.
Fun fact, the Modern Horizons card Glimpse of Tomorrow also features Segovia.
Very, very cool.
Well, that's pretty much it. We've talked about basically everything we can talk about here. I think those are some good endorsements. I will put a bunch of these in the show notes. We are always open to suggestions. But before we go, I'm not going to change the subject this week with a before we go segment. Let's do an endorsement lightning round. I don't know if we have instant agreement on any of these, but I say we go. I'm going to start with potato chip, and I'm going to say it's Zapp's Voodoo Chips, the best chip.
Popcorner spicy queso.
Popcorner spicy. Okay. Have you had a voodoo chip?
I have, and I prefer popcorn spicy queso.
Popcorn spicy queso is popcorn. I don't know what popcorn is. Is that regional?
No, it's it might be. It's a brand where it's like a triangular corn chip and they dip it in some good flavoring. And the spicy queso is addictive.
Okay, I looked this up. It is available in my local store, so I will try it, but I'm very skeptical. Voodoo chips are best chips.
Voodoo chips are great. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying.
All right.
I got an obsession.
Okay, fast food burger. For me, it's Five Guys. I love all of the toppings you just put on the burger. The Five Guys that are open for breakfast, if you're lucky enough to have one of those near you, you can just get like egg, bacon, no cheese. You don't need the cheese. And all the vegetables, and you have just this like breakfast salad with... That's delicious.
I would agree with you, but I can't eat at Five Guys because I have an intolerance to peanuts and peanut oil. It just doesn't end well for me. And what's worse is that Five Guys was originally from the Northern Virginia area. It was... The first one was in Alexandria, Virginia, close to where I grew up. So I would go with the regional one, but because I can't, I'm actually going to do a curveball. I'm going to change my answer here. I'm going to go with Roaming Rooster. They have a fantastic spicy chicken sandwich. It's a local DC chain, so you won't be able to get it anywhere except in DC. But yeah, it's my go-to if I want some fast food stuff. Absolutely delicious.
Okay, that's fair. I will try Roaming Rooster next time I'm in D.C.
Absolutely. So, a state to add to the union. What do we got?
New Columbia, obviously. The District of Columbia becomes the 51st state, right?
100% done. Variety of beer.
Great. Not IPAs. I will accept any answer that is not an IPA.
Okay. I have actually been on a big hazy IPA, double dry hopped IPA kick. Actually, it's what I've drank tonight. And they don't taste like IPAs. That's why I like them.
I would be willing to make a low IBU hazy IPA our official variety of beer.
That's fine.
I like the hazies when they're not bitter.
Yeah. What about music genre? What do you got?
Music genre? Wow. That could be anything. What are you thinking?
Dream pop. If it's Coco Twins or Beach House, I'm down.
Huh. I was thinking like post Brit pop / Art Baroque fusion.
Okay. So.
All right. So. Way to win a game of Commander. For me, it's mill. It's got to be mill, right?
So I'm sort of simpler, but I want to make my opponent draw out their deck. So I'm not putting their cards into the graveyard. I want them to draw them to see all the cards they're not going to play before they lose the game.
I think we're on the same page. Having them run out of cards in some fashion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. Sure. Yeah.
What about a way to lose a game of Commander? For me, it's conceding. I love to concede.
You do that pretty frequently. You're a fast conceder. I like to get hit in the face for more than 30 damage. Like, don't chip damage me. Mm. Just play a goddamn Craterhoof Behemoth and punch my face in. I'm totally okay with that because I didn't do a lot of things to stop that, and I deserve it.
I do like getting hit in the face a lot. Hmm. What about board game?
My recent obsession with board games is called Chameleon. It's a social deduction game where a person is trying to blend in by providing a clue to a category that doesn't tip off to the other players that they don't know what the hell's going on. It's fantastic. It's super fun.
I do like social deduction games, and that does sound like a pretty good one. For me, you know, there are a lot of options here. Usually the actual answer is whatever I have played the most recently, but I'm just going to say Ticket to Ride because it's a fun game with a decent amount of depth that I can play with my kids.
Yeah.
And that is what is important to me.
Absolutely.
Okay, how about a non-Magic card game?
Poker.
Yeah, we got one. Yes, yeah. Poker. All right, we did it. Wait, what about your favorite way to prepare eggs?
I like them poached, but that's because I don't have any fancy kitchen gadgets to make them otherwise. So,
see, I was going to say sous vide at 63 degrees Celsius, but that's just like another way to poach.
Yeah.
So we can have like a high brow and a normal brow. I think that's fine.
Oh, I would do the same if I had a sous vide machine, but I don't. So
yeah, I put a lot of stuff in a water bath. I'm not going to lie.
Speaking of which, steak temperature after you sous vide them.
Medium rare.
Yeah, medium rare.
Yeah. I get it. I like them pretty red, but, you know, seared seems great.
Yeah. As long as they're baked in an oven for a bit. You got to get that butter on top with the different herbs and spices and... Yeah.
Okay. This one, there's no way we're going to come to the same solution. What is the official tree of the Memory Jar podcast?
Oh, it's birch. Birch is the best tree.
Yes! Yes! Birch, the humble birch, is the best tree.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Duh.
Oh, that feels great. Yeah. I can't believe we got there.
What about animal? Last category.
I mean, this is an easy one for me. The animal that I have all over my house, it's a polar bear.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That sounds great. I picked tiger, but that's again one of my favorites. I mean, it could be a penguin. It could be an aardvark, or not an aardvark, sorry, a possum, just like tigers.
Okay, yep.
Like cats.
I am a little annoyed that the first creature polar bear that is definitely a polar bear in Magic history is in this arena alchemy set. It's a Yamanartok, the polar bear from Icewind Dale, and I can't play to paper. I have to like stick to pale bears, and it's just we need more polar bears. There's a lot of bears. We need some more, you know, white giant killing machines. I'll throw another one. The official vanilla legend from the set Legends.
Vanilla legend from Legends? I gotta go with the creature that should be green but isn't green in future cards that reference it are green, which is Jedet Ogenin. Ogenin? Ogenin. Yeah, Jedet Ogenin, the cat warrior who is blue-white for some reason.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I look at that card and I'm like, oh, it's green-white. And then it's like, wait, no, it's blue-white? Are we sure it's not Bant? No, it's just blue-white.
Yep.
It's also 7 mana for a 5/5. So, you know, how could you go wrong?
You can't. That's the answer.
All right. I can't believe we agree. Anything else that we want to endorse last minute here? You got anything else on your plate?
Can't think of anything right now.
Okay. We could do this forever, but nobody wants to hear that. All right. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us for our endorsement show. You can find us on Twitter at our handle, at MemoryJarMTG. If you want us to endorse something for payment or otherwise, shoot us a note. Look for some polls asking you what we should endorse. And if you have feedback on any of these things or recommendations for products or anything else, please reach out on Twitter and, you know, tell us what cards you want to remember.
Again, special thanks to Chris Yates for the logo. We greatly appreciate it. You can find Chris on Twitter at CMY Company. That's company with a K. And until next time, share your endorsements. Figure out what you love and share it with the world. But don't go too crazy. Just, like, be cool about it. Be chill. And hopefully next time, we can play some Magic. So